Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal. Great cashback rates and more savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cashback at a variety of brands like Marks & Spencer, Mango, and Selfridges. You can even shop the sales and still get cashback. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 500 brands. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten. Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Ronnie is out, and today in his place we have the esteemed and glorious and wonderful Dylan Hafer from Betches. Great to see you, Dylan. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I am great. I'm excited to talk about the Valley. You know, it's a great day. I always love talking about what those crazy kids are up to.
Yeah, well, it's a great day to be talking about the Valley. It is probably the hottest show on TV right now, and Oh, I don't know if you heard that. It sounds like we have some breaking news. This just in about 3 minutes ago, according to me, Jax Taylor is stepping away from the Valley. Can you even believe it, Dylan? This news just broke right before we started recording. How are you processing?
You know, I wish him well. You know, I love that really he got to make this decision for himself that he needs to step away
yes.
to focus on his recovery. And I hope that he feels good about this decision. And I won't miss him. So
yes. And it was definitely his decision. Yes. 100% yes. He chose, he was like, you know what? I'm going to leave this show voluntarily. This is definitely a Jax Taylor decision. 100%.
If, you know, if there's anything Jax is going to do, it's claim that it's his show and then be promptly removed from the cast the following season. So you know, he's 2 for 2 in that sense.
Yes, he is. Well, you know, maybe that social media job in Tampa finally worked its way out. You know, like maybe they got through the red tape. Like, look, the hockey team is ready for you, Jax. I know you're on the Valley, but it's time. It's time to come to Tampa.
Oh, man, I'm coming home. I'm coming. I can't wait. I'm coming home to hockey, man.
Yeah. So he's clearly fired, like obviously clearly fired. And, you know, I feel like that's a good call.
It's interesting timing of the announcement that it's the season finale is next week. And then there's a reunion, which I believe he was at the reunion. So it's like I'm not quite sure why they're announcing it today, but I'll take it whenever it comes.
Yeah, that is surprising. It is a little surprising. Normally, they announce the firings like right after the reunion is done, right? It's like right after, or maybe during the reunion, but like not. It's just a shade early. Maybe maybe Bravo has to announce like a lineup. Maybe there's like a BravoCon lineup or something that has to be announced that they have to like get this out of the way first.
They should start doing, you know, like on America's Next Top Model, when they would have the composite photo of all the girlies and then the one would sort of like dissolve away at the end of the episode. They should start doing that with Bravo firings. Like at the end of the reunion, it's just like Jax kind of like, you know, gets like snapped away from the cast photo.
Yeah, I think that would be, I would love to see that. What do you think about this firing? Do you think this was the right move? I mean, I'm a very big proponent of villains on Bravo, and I don't think that we should fire our villains just because they're villains. However, I think Jax did cross a line. I think like the stories of what he was doing with Brittany were, it was a bit too much. What do you think?
I think the thing with villains is that like, there has to be some give and take with somebody's dynamic in a cast. And I think on a show like The Valley, you have two people like Kristen and Janet who are able to sort of play off of each other in a way. And, you know, Janet especially, I think, is very polarizing with the audience. But there is sort of, she's able to kind of like, you know, get it back sometimes and kind of play different levels. And I think with Jax, just this whole season has just felt so depressing, and watching him go to rehab and be, you know, more or less away for half the season and then come back. And if anything, show the opposite of growth, the opposite of progress. It feels like he's been more reactive and more angry, and he's, nothing that Brittany is saying to him is clicking. You know, we'll get to this week's episode, but it just feels like with him, at least for right now, I don't, you know, never say never. There's just there's nowhere to go with his storyline, really.
Yeah, there's like nowhere even to go with him as a reality star. I mean, I think I think everyone was really horrified by the story of how he like flipped a table and was throwing things and broke like bar stools. And like, yes, he didn't throw them at Brittany. Like technically they didn't hit her, but it's still such a violent expression that, and it's scary, and it feels like it's just a shade away from something. Like, just no, I don't think any of us wanted to really stand for that and wanted to like have that, like, you know, I don't think anyone wanted to see a redemption arc for this guy, because the thing is that this show is his redemption arc. Like, it, like, he already was fired, and like this was supposed to be his redemption arc, and he still didn't get his shit together. There's sort of an element of like, this show is pretty stacked on the villain front. You know, you've got Janet, you've got Jesse. There's plenty of other people who could probably step into the role. So Jax isn't even really needed as a villain anymore here.
Yeah, we're so fortunate to have so much going on in this cast that this feels like an
villain privilege.
It feels like an easy and obvious decision. And I think there are, on a lot of shows, if you had somebody with this kind of position, you would think like, oh man, I wish we could do this without them. But then what would the show be? And I feel like with The Valley, there's lots of room for season three. And I'm excited to see Brittany in her single girl era without Jax. You know, lurking in the back of the frame all the time. So yeah, I think this makes me more excited for season three, not less.
I'll tell you what I'm not excited about. I'm not excited about what's going to be clearly happening for Jax post The Valley, which is a plunge into the manosphere. I think we're going to see him like going like hard right. I think we're going to be like, we're going to see him complaining about people being woke. I think we're going to see him doing the Rob Schneider route, and it's going to be so annoying. It's just going to be him complaining about, you can't even say anything anymore. You know, you try to grow, like, people don't want to listen to you anymore. You know, like the white male is the most discriminated person in America. Like, you know, he's going to do all those things, and it's going to be so tiresome, and no one's going to want to hear it. And he's going to find an audience, and he'll wind up on some show. It's really going to be a terrible trajectory. That is my complete prediction for him.
I agree with that prediction. The silver lining for me is that I've been blocked by Jax for years, so I won't be able to see any of it.
That's true. Yeah, we were blocked as well. It's very fortunate on that front. But yeah, terrible trajectory for him. He's, I mean, he's it really, really also like what, if you just look at his entire trajectory since when he arrived on Bravo to now, I mean, this is really the descent of someone and by the way, this is also a real, real good case study for why you should get into therapy before it's too late, because like Jax is, he's like a lost cause if you ask me.
It's crazy how pretty much everyone else who was a long running cast member on Vanderpump Rules is like, kind of has something going on. Even mm-hmm. Tom Sandoval has been able to sort of steer the ship a little bit in the last couple of years. You know, he's going to be on House of Villains. He was on Traitors. He's still doing the music thing, I think.
He's found his niche as a villain now. He's leaned into it and he's fine.
He's found his niche. He's showed like just enough, you know, consternation or whatever. And pretty much everyone else that was on that show, maybe with the exception of James Kennedy right now, but like Jax is kind of the one person who has never been able to like lock in and figure it out. And I think the time has kind of run out.
He was on House of Villains, but I didn't feel like, was he good on that? I actually never watched House of Villains. Did you see it at all or no? It's hard to go off Bravo, I find.
I've never sat down and watched it. The fact that that was an E show in like 2023 seemed like an indicator of kind of the quality level. I am curious. It's moving to Peacock next season. So I'm wondering if they're going to kind of try and make that a little bit more of a thing. But I don't think Jax really made much of a splash when he was on that show.
Yeah, I mean, even if he did, it's still like, it wasn't the way Tom Sandoval made a splash on Traitors, where like people left Traitors saying like, oh my God, I really like Tom. Like that was his, that was his, like, he finally like broke out of Scandoval jail with that. Like people were like, okay, we're willing to take you back into our lives in this new role as like dumb idiot villain. But like Jax, you know, he was trying to parlay all this into like an HGTV show for a while. He and Brittany were peddling a home makeover show. He was trying to do everything. And it's, you're right. Everyone's kind of doing something to some degree. Well, I don't know about Katie. Katie's doing something somewhere. But well, she does have a sandwich shop. You cannot discount that. That sandwich shop does very well. People are always in line for it.
A sandwich shop, a podcast, and a dream. I don't know how Pucker and Pout is doing these days, but the sandwich shop is alive and well.
Maybe she can do maybe she can also resurrect Pandora's old thing, the divine addiction. But
you look, James May is having a moment. So
look, I mean, Katie does have a podcast. I mean, Jax does have Jax's, but I feel like Jax's bar is just like a licensed whatever. Jax just really isn't doing anything. He really, you know, actually, if you look at his peers who were similarly expunged post 2020, Stassi and Kristen is fully, you know, back in the fold. Audiences love her. She's grown and she's put in the work. Stassi has also seems to have put in the work as well, and she's like super popular. She's back. Like everyone is grown. He has stayed stuck, and he tried to pretend like he wasn't, but we are seeing like, no, he is done.
And what about Danica? Where's Danica?
Well, that's a great question. I ask that all the time. Where is Danica? Who is she hitting right now? Justice for her.
What a time.
No, what a time. Okay, well, what a time this is, because we have to start talking about this show. The Valley, we're penultimate episode of the season before the reunions. Such a good season. I feel like everyone's talking about The Valley, right? I mean, what's it like on your end at Betches? I mean, I feel like you have more of an ear to the vibe of what's going on in New York media circles, etc. I'm just gonna say that because you're wearing a Matisse t-shirt, you're like so sophisticated. But like the scuttlebutt, like industry scuttlebutt, I feel like everyone's talking about it. I feel like this is the biggest buzzworthy show on Bravo right now.
Well, last year when it premiered, it was such a surprise the way that this show just worked from like really right from the jump, because when it was first announced, people were like deeply unenthused about the prospect of a show about parents with little kids and Jax and Brittany and crazy Kristen. And oh, we're going to see what they're riding around on a little, you know, little tykes tricycle in the valley. What is that?
Yeah.
And so I think like this show, it had a tough sort of job to do. And it just worked so well. And this cast has so many layered dynamics to it. And I think almost similar to the way that Vanderpump Rules was able to do in the early seasons, it really felt watching the first season of The Valley like this was a cast with history and these people actually know each other and there's lore to be discovered between all of them, and there's going to be side characters and stories to, you know, dig up and, you know, rumors and gossip and all of that. And I think season two has done a good job of sort of building on that momentum and, you know, bringing in some different side characters. I think Sheena being around on this show has worked better than I expected. I think Tom Schwartz also kind of makes sense in this world. Lala, I'm a little hesitant still, but we'll see. But I think overall, it's been a really exciting show, and it feels like they have potentially like the gas in the tank that this could go on for several seasons and stay pretty interesting.
Yeah, they have a deep roster of people that are interesting that you want to watch. And you're right, they do have a lore. And you also get the feeling like a lot of these people are going to probably stick with the show for a while, because I kind of think it's like it's really all they have. And so I think we are set up for something good here. And it's so cool to see how the show has been really like aside from Love Island, which of course was like, you know, took over pop culture for 6 weeks. I feel like The Valley has been the thing that people have been really, really talking about. Like, it's so cool to watch a variety roundtable, and Seth Rogen is on there talking about how he loves watching The Valley. I don't know why. Like, we don't need validation from Hollywood actors, you know, to love what we love. But it's just really cool when our shows sort of, you know, permeate the intelligentsia and these like very highfalutin FYC panels that they put on at this time of year.
Yeah, and I think also they did a good job. Something that I've talked about with season one is they did a good job of Kristen and Jax and Brittany being central characters without it feeling like they were always the protagonists, like they were always sort of the heroes of the show. And I was worried. I think like talking about Jax leaving, it's funny because it was sort of my concern when it premiered that we were going to get like Jax's side of every story and it was going to be the Jax show, and it really didn't end up like that. And I think that's part of what has worked so well, that it really feels like we're sort of riding the roller coaster with all these people versus just kind of, it doesn't feel like a vanity project for the Vanderpump Rules, you know, OGs. It feels like, oh, you guys are thrown right back in the mix with everybody else and you're still going to have to, you know, scrape and claw for a good edit just like everybody else.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Vanderpump Rules comes back, how it can live on Bravo anymore. Now that I feel like we're kind of now focusing our attention on The Valley, and we also have Southern Hospitality for our young hospitality people. And I'm very open to the new Vanderpump Rules. I think it was the 100% correct decision to reboot it, start fresh, get back into the restaurant. But I think that I think it's going to have an uphill battle. I think people are not going to be open to it, and they're going to just shit on it right away.
Yeah, I agree. I'm optimistic, like I try to be with everything on Bravo, because let's face it, I'll watch it whether it's good or not, and I'll talk about it either way. But The Valley being really good and Southern Hospitality being really good gives Vanderpump Rules a really a tall order. So we'll see.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into today's episode. We start with some different scenes around The Valley. We have Michelle painting Isabella's nails, and she shows Isabella a photo of Jesse and Aaron kind of palling around together, which is surprising. And she's like, Isabella, did you see this picture of Daddy and Aaron? Daddy is silly and he's wearing a hat. Isn't that funny, Isabella?
I can't like... The ups and downs between Michelle and Jesse, it's like, but you don't think Daddy is silly. You think he's like a war criminal. Like it's like,
yes, she's putting on a brave face. You know, the ups and downs, I thought you were going to say of his hair dent that he always has, but I guess you meant their emotional paths instead.
Something about the phrase Daddy and Aaron, I just don't enjoy it. It doesn't feel good on the mouth.
Yeah, and I don't think that this like Jesse Aaron alliance is going to last much longer. Like this is very tenuous. It's going to collapse in shambles very quickly.
Absolutely not.
We have Zach. Then we go to Zach's apartment. Zach's doing laundry with Bungie. Zach doesn't get much to do this episode, which is sad. Zach has had a really good breakout season where he and Jasmine have felt much more central to the show than last year. Last year, they had definitely felt tacked on, you know?
Yeah. And I think it benefits the show not to have everyone in like a married couple. And so I think also having the two divorces in the mix has really like shaken things up. And it doesn't just feel like it's like everything's a double or triple date, which I appreciate. But I'm so glad that Zach has someone around to do his laundry now.
Yes. So then we wind up, speaking of Jasmine, we now go to Sherman Oaks and she has a listing. I didn't realize that she was doing real estate. Was this ever announced? Or did she just break into a house?
But doesn't Michelle do real estate too? Like,
yeah. And Jesse. Obviously,
okay.
they were realtors together. But like, I didn't know about Jasmine, or if I did know, I had long since forgotten.
Jasmine she's Annette Bening, and she will sell this house today. You know, she's going to make it happen.
She will. But also at the same time, like, Jasmine, you got to think about like your people. Okay. We've all seen Danny and Nia's apartment. It is the most cramped space on Bravo. Like every time we have to go to a scene in Danny and Nia's apartment, I'm like, oh no, like breathe deeply. It's just like, it's like, there's like no windows. There's like no light in there. And there's like toys everywhere. There's like just clutter everywhere from all these children. And I'm like, and when Jasmine takes them to this place that we find out is actually like 800 square feet smaller than what they already live in. Jasmine, why are you doing this to us?
Yeah,
and to them?
This is some like House Hunters International type of thing where it's like, they're like, okay, I want, 10,000 square feet and AC in every room and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, so here's a shanty. And it was a lovely home. It was a lovely home, but this house felt like a production plant to me because there's no way.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And Jasmine, by the way, I have to be very bad at her job for this to be the house she chose for them.
Yeah, Jasmine, you know what this family is about. And on top of that, I did spy that there was an AC wall unit. And I'm like, wow, for $1.1 million, you're not getting central air. I'm sorry. This is like, I would not even go any further. As soon as I saw that wall unit, I'd be like, I'm not entering this house. I'm turning around. I'm not wasting my time here.
The single sink in the master bathroom is tough. She's Miss USA. Come on.
I know, she's missing, exactly. There was like so many, I was actually just like offended. I was offended on behalf of Danny and Nia, you know? And like, Nia was trying to be optimistic. She's like, well, if it's laid out nicely, it could be really functional. I'm like, no, I see that it's small. Like if something looks small on TV, it's going to be way smaller, you know, in person. There's no way that entire brood is going to work in there.
Daniel, look, it's a Jack and Jill bathroom.
Hate a Jack and Jill bathroom, by the way. I feel like I'm gonna get ambushed.
I never have had a Jack and Jill bathroom in like a home, but in college I lived in a dorm that was like two single rooms with a bathroom in the middle, and so you had to lock and unlock the other door every time, and it was like, it stressed me out to no end because I'd be like, did I forget to lock it? What if he forgets to unlock it? What if I can't go to the bathroom? Do I have to pound on the door? Do I wait? Do I try to listen? Like, it's so stressful. And I don't want to be so then your child has to do that. Like they're going to walk in on their sibling. Yeah. It just feels like no.
I don't like more than one entrance to a bathroom.
And you would have it would be Jack and Jack and Jill and Jill.
It's too many Jacks and Jills. too many possibilities. I just don't want any of it, and I rebuke it. By the way, I want to say I'm going to hold space for your college experience because that sounded terrible what you just described.
It's okay.
I don't want to act like I'm just glossing over that. That was terrible.
it was a nice building, but with the layout was not ideal.
Yeah, it sounds like Jasmine must have like sold it to the campus because it's like didn't make any sense for a college experience.
Guys, it's perfect. I gotta, please get me the commission, please.
Oh, Jasmine, come on, you could do better. Well, we do know that they have actually moved up to Santa Clarita, right? Like I think that was in the headlines that they did get a place up there.
Yes. The only two places on Earth, Sherman Oaks and Santa Clarita.
I know. I'm like, you surely could have found a nice size home closer than Santa Clarita. Santa Clarita is far. I don't care. Every time he says, 20 minute drive north, I'm like, it is not a 20. It's 20 minutes at midnight. It is not 20 minutes any other time. It's like, it's going to be 45 minutes at least. And I'm so mad about the Santa Clarita agenda that he has. Like, you have to, you should stay with your peers.
This cast, between Jesse spending a lot of time in Newport and them moving to Santa Clarita, they're going to spend a lot of time in the car next season.
Yeah, well, it's like the Beverly Hills cast. I mean, for a while there, when you had like Yolanda in Malibu and Erica in Pasadena, I mean, those distances are massive. Like, people really don't realize how far apart those. People just think these are just all like areas. It's, I can't give an equivalency, but like, that's like a 90 minute drive to go from one end to the other. Like,
and you're going, and you're going to meet for happy hour with your enemy, and you're probably going to storm off before you even finish the first drink.
Precisely. So anyway, they look at this place and it's like, not, it's, this is terrible. This is not the right choice. And, you know, Danny, of course, says like five different times, 4 under 4, 4 under 4. So they finally do what they're there to really do, which is to sit down and talk shit. Right. So they go to sit down and they're talking about, like, you know, they're, Nia won't even say Janet's name anymore. She calls her Voldemort of the Valley, which I thought was actually pretty good.
that was a pretty good read. I feel like Nia has gotten more comfortable this season being a little messy, making a shady comment or two. She's not just like the former, you know, Disneyland princess anymore. And like, I like when she kind of gets in the mud a little bit like that.
Yeah, I... Famously, on the first episode of the show, I thought Nia was going to be a monster. Like, the way that she was like a beauty queen, but then she would call Danny Daniel at all times. I was like, oh, just wait. We're going to pull those layers off, and she's going to be the biggest monster. And she has literally been a delight ever since. Like, I eat my words every day, but it is nice to see her getting a little bit of an edge.
Have you noticed, by the way, that when Kristen is talking to Nia, she also says Daniel. Like, you can tell that she's like, yeah, so with Daniel, you feel like it's...
I just want to honor her wishes. That's how she prefers to address him, so I shall address him that way as well.
Daniel.
Yeah, there's like... I'm like, Kristen, don't do that, because that's clearly one of those like couple things where it's like a... it's some sort of signifier of like an elevated relationship, right? Like he is my husband, so he is not just Danny, he's Daniel. This is going to signify that I have a different relationship with him than the rest of you do.
Right. You guys are, you know, his friends who yell at him for drinking in the closet, and I am his person. And so to me, it's a more sacred bond. And so I use the Christian name Daniel.
It requires a formal declaration of his name.
Look, if it's working nickname. For them,
it does seem to be. It seems to be. By the way, what do you think about the whole Danny thing? You know, since you're here as a guest, let's check in. I know that this is a little bit old news on the show, but I would love to hear your thoughts on Danny. Do you think Danny has a problem?
I've had complicated feelings about it all season, because it seems like he has some stuff to work on. It seems like he has some adjustments to make, some things to look into. And I don't have an issue with other people in the cast bringing that up, because what are we here to do if not, you know, throw mud at each other? By the time we were in Hawaii, it felt a little bit like beating a dead horse, and a little bit like, okay, we're not actually having a productive conversation about this. So maybe with respect to the Jasmine situation, let's table this and maybe speak about it in a more serious manner. And it feels like Janet has been kind of trying to use that to, you know, score points for herself a little bit, which I don't love. But at the end of the day, I mean, it definitely seems like there's a little bit of a concerning, pattern of behavior with him.
Yeah, I don't know, nor could I diagnose whether or not he's a an alcoholic, but it sounds like he's a bad drunk at the very least. And like, you can be a bad drunk without being an alcoholic. And I think he needs to like be a better drunk. He was like too old to be that sloppy.
It's like it's like a Dorinda Medley in a very different font, where it's like
in a different font.
Because every, you know, it felt like every season of Roni for a while, it was like, Dorinda's an alcoholic. And it's like, is she? I don't know. Does it seem like she maybe should drink less sometimes? Yeah.
We're like, yes. Like, not everything has to be like alcoholism, unless like someone decides, okay, you know, like this is not right for me. But like some people, like, you know, with Danny, you know, I've had some friends who like when they get drunk, they just are like the worst. And you know, just, and like, I kind of stopped being friends with them because they're just like annoying. And I don't think they're alcoholics. It's just like they let out all their bullshit, and you're just like, I don't want to deal with this. And I kind of feel like Danny is that way. Like, once you see him start drinking, you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to have to co-sign to this misery right now.
Right. You're like, okay, this dinner is going to be less fun in 20 minutes because Danny just took 3 shots.
Yes, exactly. It's like having to pretend like you're amused when he's like taking 3 shots to catch up, and you're like, but we're not in college anymore. You don't have to do that. Just drink at your own pace. It's okay.
Really? No, nobody here is sloshed right now. Everybody has just like been enjoying a drink.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so now we go over to Sheena's house, because I think we're going to be, if I remember correctly, we're going to be cutting back and forth. And we see Janet. Speaking of Janet, she's pushing a stroller up to Sheena's house. And there was something about the way that Janet was pushing that stroller. I was like, there's no baby in there. That's like a stuffed animal. It was like, the stroller was like bouncing all over the place. In a certain way, I was like, has she ever used this stroller before? I don't know what's happening.
It's like when you watch
a baby.
It's like when you watch, you know, in a theater or something, and it's like every prop is like too light. Like the backpack doesn't have anything in it. The pitcher has no water. It's,
you can tell.
It's there's like a toy stroller.
So she has, she's met up with Michelle and Sheena, and like, you know, it's baby time and everything. And so Janet's saying like, well, the trip ended with Kristen saying that she was going to beat my ass. So she brought Danny and Nia's names up and said something about how Jason and I were attacking Danny. And yes, you know, I've talked about things that he's done, but like, you know, I'm not making up false rumors about him. I'm like, you aren't, but like, you just made up with him. And then you then blurt out that he committed sexual assault. It's just
Janet. Like,
look, Janet,
she like really, really is deliberately missing the point here. Like, she really is trying to have her cake and eat it too. And it's like, I, on a very specific level, I get where you're coming from, but like, don't pretend that you don't see the issue, basically.
Yeah. Why does Janet, for some reason, remind me of Amy Klobuchar? Isn't that weird?
When will she throw a stapler at someone's head?
I feel like I can imagine Janet eating salad with a comb, you know?
Wow, that is evocative. That's not where my mind would have gone, but I respect the journey.
That just popped into my head, and I felt like I needed to share that with, I needed to put that out there, and I'm gonna have to see if people co-sign.
I hope she
can see her that way. In like,
I hope she
years.
Does a Voldemort Halloween costume, like own it, own the comparison. I think that would be, that's what I want to see from her next.
Yes, I would like that. So, Janet's basically complaining about Kristen coming at her, and Sheena's like, well, that's what Kristen does. She latches on, you know, to like the popular girl, and she like doesn't care who she has to step on to get there, which is funny because it's like Sheena, who like has spent her entire career trying to be in with the popular girls.
Sheena going back to like season one of Vanderpump Rules when she's on dish duty or whatever, while you know, the plastics of Sir are treating her like shit. It's like, it is funny that Sheena is once again in the position on this show of sort of like needing to latch on to people to yes. get screen time. And you know, maybe it's a little pot and kettle situation there.
I love that they're all angry at Sheena for bringing Janet into the mix. Like, if it weren't for Sheena, we wouldn't have even had Janet. She was a fan. Sheena met Janet, which I love. I love that this is like Sheena's contribution to the Valley.
Yeah, she's doing her best. She's doing her best. Also, she's wearing this like big oversized t-shirt that says Valley Brat. And I'm just
yes.
like, so you're wearing, it's not merch for the show, but it feels like it is adjacent to the show that you are trying to weasel your way into it. I'm like, Sheena, wear a plain black t-shirt. Anything else?
We know what you're up to, Sheena. Okay.
She's like, yeah, I'm just so valley. Do you remember Sheena in the marina? She slipped through so many different eras.
I know. She really tried to make Marina Del Rey a thing, but it just didn't quite work out.
A long way to drive French gelatos.
When Stassi did that diagram on Vanderpump Rules, like, that was no joke. I don't know if you're familiar with LA geography, Dylan, but like, Stassi laid it out plain and clear, and there was no lies detected there. It was going to Marina Del Rey is like, you have to suit up. Like, you have to prepare yourself.
Well, it's just, the nice thing about the Valley, or, you know, Sur back in the day when they all lived in WeHo, basically, is it's like, it does feel like that sort of, we're just hanging out in the neighborhood aspect. Mm-hmm. And something shifts a little bit when you can sense that everyone's been in the car for an hour to get there.
Yeah. That's a very good point. As opposed to just like coming by with your stroller into Sheena's new house that looks like everyone else's house. So, it really looks exactly like Katie and Tom's and Tom and Ariana's.
Modern farmhouse.
Farmhouse doorway. You walk through the front door. To the right is some sort of like living area. To the left is maybe a formal dining room. You walk through, staircase on the right. Then like den area with your, what's it called? The love sack or whatever. The love sack sofa that they're talking about.
Yeah, the cloud couch
there. Kitchen here at cloud. Yeah, kitchen here with the island. They have the exact same layout. I'm not mad at it though, by the way. It's a nice layout. I actually like it.
Like $1.1 million.
That's probably why. I mean, like, honestly, I mean, you know, Jasmine, you gotta sell like the Valley special. Do the shiplap modern farmhouse look, not this tiny little, you know, little modified RV without wheels. Speaking of which, so Janet's basically complaining that like she doesn't even know where to go. She goes, you know, with Nia and Daniel, she does call him Daniel, by the way. This is how you know this is serious, because everyone's calling him Daniel now. But she's like, I just don't know where to go. It sucks because all this stuff happened. And if Daniel is still drinking, I don't know if I necessarily want to like be super close to him, you know? And so she's saying that she hasn't talked to them at all. So now we go back over to Jasmine's listing. And Nia's like, well, you know, we haven't been feeling good vibes from the one who shall not be named. But like, you know, they all bought Jason so nice. And they all start talking about how like, oh, Jason, like, he's like, poor Jason, because we all like Jason, but he gets sucked into this. It's too bad. He's losing friends. Da, 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 da. Where do you stand on Jason?
I don't. Do I stand anywhere on Jason? I just don't. To me, he's such a nothing. He doesn't bring a lot to the table. I mean, he's a nice guy. I'm sure. Yeah. Or, you know, he seems like
he's a little bit too much of a Jax apologist, though, to be as nice as he seems, right?
It's tough. He's a little too, like, I don't have strong feelings about him, but he does seem a little too into the guys chat. Like, it's just a little less of that. A little, you know, I don't love his energy.
Yeah, I feel like he's bros before hoes at the worst time. And then he's sometimes oddly hoes before bros at the worst time.
Yeah, he doesn't. Right? I don't think I like agree with the way he kind of like moves through situations. But at the same time, I'm like, there's at least three worse men on this show. So.
That's what I feel like. I feel like he's probably the best of the men. I mean, I know people really don't like him because he's with Janet, and he is his worst thing, I think, is he is a Jax apologist. And we have a call-in show on Mondays, every other Monday, Crappy Hour. Everyone should watch it. One of our listeners called in and made a really good point, which is that like what Jax did is technically domestic violence, or it would appear to be. Like, even if he didn't like hurt Brittany, the act of like throwing the tables and everything could be considered domestic violence. And Janet is so quick to call what Danny did sexual assault and say, well, that's just legally what it's called. And Jason backs her up. But yet we don't see that same energy from those two going towards Jax, especially from Jason, the lawyer.
Yeah, the legal clarification from Janet was so stupid to me, because it's like, first of all, we're not We're not in a courtroom. You're not a lawyer. You don't have to say anything. And also, it's like, you're the wife of a lawyer. So it's like, okay, if I'm married to a doctor, I like have to use the like scientific medical term for everything, or else I'm like betraying my, you know, spouse's profession. It's like, that's not how the world works.
Yeah, no, it's painful. But that being said, with all that being said, I do think Jason is the best of the guys. Which is shocking, because some people would say maybe Danny, but I do think that Danny is a really bad drunk. And I think that Jason, he seems actually like a very smart guy, and he's trying. I feel like he tries to be like level-headed and rational, but I think that he has, unfortunately, in this second season, he's definitely missed the mark several times. And so he's really like going downhill in terms of like esteem.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah, he's losing out on the ability to use the excuse of like, oh, I'm just getting dragged into this because of my wife. And right. I don't know. It is tough to think about, though. Like, imagine getting cast on a show like this as a couple, and then your wife is like America's number one villain. And you're like, I guess I'll go get a tattoo on my ring finger. This is fun.
To lock that in. Actually, by the way, I'm going to say that I think Zach and Luke are superior men to Jason.
Sure.
I was just thinking in terms of like the guys in the guys chat. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking of Jesse, Jax, Danny, and Jason. Like, that's what I was thinking of. But like, I think Luke
guys chat, no homo. definitely no Zach in there.
Yeah, but in terms of like actually like, of the actual males beyond that, I think it's probably Zach is like number one, followed by Luke. Like, that's like
that feels right. Luke has gotten rid of a lot of the red flags from last season. It seems like he's not talking about Colorado anymore, thank God.
Yeah, and he seems to be more accepted by the cast too, by the way. Last season they seemed to barely even want to like be around him, and now they like all seem to really revere him.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. We gotta.
Yeah. Yeah. What did happen?
Was there hazing? Was it hazing?
I think they realized that Luke just didn't really care, and I think that they're like, "Oh shit, okay, cool. Maybe he's a cool guy. I don't know."
It's like, "Oh, you're not gonna move back to Colorado in 2 weeks. I guess we'll hang out with you."
Oh, you fixed our broken down Sprinter van on the side of the road, so that's pretty cool. Okay, we'll let you into our group.
You gotta have one handy guy in the guys chat, and I don't think it's Jesse.
It's definitely not Jesse. Speaking of Luke, we go to Kristen and Luke's house, and Kristen and Luke are having like TV dinners on their, I guess what we find out is their love sack couch, their cloud couch, whatever, the very expensive couch, right? It's a very, very, very expensive couch, according to people. I didn't actually do any research on the couch. I just got some DMs that were like, that couch is really expensive.
But I always see, so there's the cloud couch, and then I'll see on TikTok that there's like, oh, this cloud couch dupe. Like, you can get some site has it the same looking couch for less. So I do wonder if Kristen and Luke have the dupe. But either way, it looked a nice setup.
Can I say something? I've never even heard of this sofa until this show started to air. And like, there was like, because Brittany has one, she's like, look at my cloud, look at my love sack. And then that's when I got DMs like, wow, that love sack is worth a lot, blah, blah, blah. And I've never heard of this thing. And then they are talking about it now today on the show, like, oh, you got one too. And now you're talking about, you've seen dupes of them. I'm like, am I out of the loop on this?
I did.
And how
I
much do these cost?
I just bought a couch, and so I have been, you know, really my algorithm has been serving me a lot of couches both in and out of my price range. So
I once went to when we were getting a sofa here, I went to Restoration Hardware thinking for some reason that was a good idea. And I remember sitting down on their stupid sofa, which was like 3 inches off the ground. So it was already low and stupid. And then it wasn't even a sectional or anything. And I think they said it was like $28,000. And I thought he was joking. I literally was like, I'm sorry, did you say 2,800? And he's like, no, 28,000. And I'm like, goodbye. I am out of here.
Yeah. It's, Congrats to Kristen on the couch, though. Happy for her.
That being said, we want to congratulate Kristen and Luke on their sofa that they have chosen now to sit and eat food on with the dogs. So they're sitting there and, Jill is begging for food. And apparently Jill is begging because Kristen taught her dog how to beg. And then that dog taught Jill how to beg. And now Luke is really unhappy about it. It's a sad state of affairs.
I'm just learning now. There's a dog named Jill. Luke's dog is named Jill,
which I think is hilarious.
Sure.
I agree. No, I agree. I had this reaction last season.
I'm picturing the dog with Jill Zarin's voice. Hi.
Hi. So you got any Diet Coke? I make the best Diet Coke.
I brought a suitcase of Diet Coke to Europe because they don't have it there.
I take it you saw Below Deck last year when she was on it.
Allie has made a lot of TikToks about the suitcase of Diet Coke.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. No. Yeah, because Jill Zarin was on Below Deck and yes. She was obsessed with Diet Coke. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to make Diet Coke good. Okay, this is how you do it. She like acted like there was a recipe to it. She's like, okay, you put some ice in the glass, you put the Diet Coke on top of it, and you got good Diet Coke.
I hope she's well.
I hope she too gets a love sack sofa soon. God bless. God bless.
She's probably got three of them down in Boca. She's
and I reupholstered them with Zarin Fabrics.
Gary.
I want to go to Zarin Fabrics because guess what? I learned how to sew over the past like 18 months and now I care about fabrics. I want to see her fabrics.
Zarin Fabrics. It's there.
It's a big store, right?
It's like a big, you know, like wholesale fabric store. It's very like, you know, like Mood Fabrics on Project Runway back in the day. Same kind of vibe. But I don't think, she's not like involved in Zarin Fabrics anymore. But, you know, it's the name is the name.
Well, maybe her gay husband is still working there since we haven't seen him in, you know, 12 years. So Kristen and Luke are tending to Jill the dog named Jill. And she's feeling a little blue because they had another fertility, a meeting with a doctor and, you know, his sperm are good. So it really just comes down to her body and she's, you know, and you feel bad watching her because she's really coming down so hard on herself. But I think this is actually like one of the things that has been really like redeeming for her is because it's like a very real thing she's going through and it's very relatable. And there's also the happy ending of we all know now that she had a baby. And so like we know she's going through this pain, but we know that it's going to like turn around for her. So, yeah, she's going through it at this moment.
Yeah, I'm glad that we've gotten to watch this season knowing the ending, because it's the one spoiler where I'm like, okay, I actually am. This would be a lot more depressing if I had to assume that she was still kind of struggling with it. But I'm very happy for her.
Yeah, it's wild to think that she's 45. By the way, I have not really accepted that. Yeah. Isn't she 45? Did I just age her?
She's in her 40s.
I'm gonna look her up. Maybe she's 42. Maybe it's Jax who's 45.
Jax is 45. She's 45. Yeah, that's Sorry. Jax.
Kristen is 42. I apologize, Kristen. I did not mean to add 3 years.
You're 45. To life.
You're 45, JX. 35. It's wild. It's wild that they're all in their 40s. It's like people in the real world who are now in their 60s. I'm assuming some of them are in their 60s by now. It's like the world is a strange and scary place. Someone should shelter Jill. Keep Jill out of it. Make sure, just feed Jill. Give her all the food she wants because the world is scary enough as it is.
Let her beg.
Give her some of that chicken. So they basically are talking about it. And then speaking of Jax, ding dong, here he comes. Jax walks in. Jax, let's talk about why does Jax have such rosy cheeks all the time? Where did this come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's like shiny pink and like it's shiny and pink. That's it's disarming.
is that like a, is there like a steroid side effect or anything that may, I don't know. Cause there, Jax has been through a lot of phases and there's definitely, I mean, there's been like coked up Jax and roided out Jax. And sometimes he looks good and healthy. And I don't know exactly what phase he's in right now, but like, that's gotta just play havoc on your skin.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he like developed rosacea or something like that. Not to rosacea shame. I'm just curious as to why he has such rosy hues on his on his cheekbones. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So he comes in with a giant orchid that he gives to Christine. And she's like, yeah, I can't keep an orchid alive for the life of me. I'm like, okay, well, he's like, okay, next time I'll get you a pie, I guess. I don't know. So
it's
he's
just, it's funny to be like, I've never kept an orchid alive. It's like, how many times have you tried?
I can imagine her. She probably had like a solid year where every week she bought an orchid. She's like, okay, this one's going to work. It's going to happen this time.
They're just so beautiful and they represent light and love. And
every time. I have heard that like orchids, like just because they lose their flower doesn't mean that they're dead. It's just that the flower is over.
She's throwing away a live plant. Every week being like the fucking flower fell off. Now this is dead.
The orchid's like, but I just took my makeup off. That's all.
I killed it again.
I would never. That being said, I would probably throw out the orchid as well. And I would never. That's why I don't get orchids, because they are too much. They're just, get something solid. Get a
fiddle fern.
Get a tulip. Get a fucking tulip. Okay. Get something that's gonna be reliable. Get a lilac. So he comes over and Jax is doing his standard woe is me pitch to everyone, trying to control the narrative. And he's like, you know, Brie and I were just like talking for like 5 minutes, and like, because we're allowed to talk. He's like, by the way, sorry I almost ruined your engagement. Oh god, I don't know what I was thinking. So stupid of me. That's his like standard thing that he does when he's like messed up and he's trying to be like good little boy, you know.
And then he's like, I said it was Brittany. I threw her under the bridge. Like, oh man, I don't know why I even did that either. It's like, chill. Calm down. Shut up.
Jill's like, this idiot. I get yelled at for begging and this guy's over here and they're fine with him. So Jax is like, yeah, he's like, yeah. Kristen's like, I think you mean under a bus, not under the bridge. He's like, well, whatever. Like, I threw her under something, you know. And she's like, you know, you just have to practice patience. Because, look, I'm not a patient human being. And everyone knows that. Just be patient. He's like, oh, man. But, like, it's really tough, like, being away from my son.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo. She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.